in complete dependence upon our Lord, dear friends, to help us. And that's your prayerful attention by way of a text this morning to Psalm 17, and in particular verse 8. Psalm 17, verse 8. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Dear friends, this word seemed to have been laid upon me yesterday and even the day before. It wasn't till really last evening I looked at the hymns that our friends have chosen for this morning. And as we've just sung them, oh how they seem to be in accordance with this verse. Keep me as the apple of thine eye. Oh, we've just sung that hymn 745, which is a prayer. Saviour of sinners, deign to shine on this benighted soul of mine. Show my wandering feet the way that leads me to endless day. And that verse, the first hymn this morning especially, concerning the hiding place. Amidst the sorrows of the way, Lord Jesus, teach my soul to pray. And let me taste thy special grace and run to Christ, my hiding place. Dear friends, you've prayed in those hymns for the Lord's help. Practically in life's pathway and spiritually for the blessing of your souls. Oh, may your hearts have been poured out through them before the Lord. This Psalm 17 is a prayer. A prayer of David. It's a prayer really for the Lord to preserve him. Preserve him through all the days of his life. There's many psalms which are prayers of David. Some in specific circumstances. Like Psalm 57 is, which we read. When he hid in the cave from King Saul. But Psalm 17 is what we might say a general prayer. He looks back how the Lord has dealt with him and has proved him, visited him. Oh, David was a sinner. He needed the Lord's teaching. He needed the Lord's chastening. He prays, doesn't he, in one psalm, 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. The way that leads unto everlasting life. Then, dear friends, he needs to know that way, which is the forgiveness of sins. And the love of the Lord above all other loves. David was a sinner, wasn't he? Saved by grace. Oh, he testifies of that in more than one psalm. But in Psalm 32, he testifies how he acknowledged his sin unto the Lord. He says, mine iniquities have I not hid. What caused him to do that? Because the Lord's hand in his case was heavy upon him. day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Dear friends, the Lord's chastening hand was upon him. He caused him to pour out his heart before the Lord. I acknowledge my sin. You know, dear friends, those times in our lives, they're perhaps not pleasant, but they're blessed and sweet. Because the outcome of them is the knowledge of the mercy of God to the blessing of our soul. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Dear friends, do you know such a path as that? Do you know such a time in your lives as that? Well, they're the moments, weren't they, rich in blessing, which before the cross had spent, the cross you spent. Because he loved you with an everlasting love. And with loving kindness he drew you. Selah. Oh, dear friends, all the promises and the blessings of the Lord have this as their foundation. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee, in a time when thou mayest be found. Oh, dear friends, the Lord reveals himself, doesn't he, to those that have need of him. That hymn comes again to, I think I quoted it at the midweek service, or was it last time we had a midweek service? That lovely hymn by a Scottish hymn writer, I found a friend, oh such a friend. He loved me. Ere I knew him, before I knew him, he drew me with the cords of love, and thus he bound me to him. Oh, David knew what it was to be a sinner saved by grace. He also knew what it was to have those temptations and trials in his life. He knew what it was to have many enemies that threatened him in a physical sense. But a great trouble was the enemy of his own soul within himself. Those outward, they could destroy his body. But the inward sin of his heart would be the destruction of his soul. Now, dear friends, that's the same today, isn't it? And it's through that knowledge, dear friends, we fear God, who can destroy both body and soul in hell, more than we fear man, who can do it to our bodies but can do nothing else other than that. Now, David had a sweet promise, didn't he, in that Psalm 32. Well, he says, first of all, thou art my hiding place. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. He was his assurance in that day of his blessing. He could hide himself in the mercy and the love of the goodness of God, in the forgiveness of sins. By faith, dear friends, he was resting on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who would be of his line through the kingship of Israel and Judah. Oh, the mystery of the coming of Christ, the Lamb of God. David called him my Lord. The Lord, Almighty God the Father, said unto my Lord, his only begotten Son, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy throne thy footstool, until make thine enemies thy footstool. Thou art my hiding place, a shelter, a deliverer, a sure defence. And the Lord said unto him, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. What a promise. Thou art mine. I have redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. Dear friends, we do not know which way the Lord will instruct and teach us, do we? But dear friends, if there's instruction and teaching in the Lord's way in which he leads us, then it'll be for the blessing and good of our souls. It will lead us further and further away from the love of sinning. It will lead us further and further away from the rule of the world within our hearts. It will lead us to where we grow in the hatred of sin and Satan more and more. It'll lead us to where we look with singleness of eye unto Christ Jesus, the way to eternal life. It will bring him to know the answer to his prayer, lead me in the way everlasting. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And so in this Psalm 17, verse 5 says, hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. Although David was a safe sinner, he knew what it was to sin and backslide and transgress, go as it were the wrong way. Or be drawn maybe into what we would say the aspects of the broad way. He needed keeping. Hold up my goings in thy paths. Dear friends, what are our goings? The things, the circumstances of our daily lives. Or we have to plan and scheme, don't we? We have to manage, we have to consider the circumstances of our lives, we have to be wise into that which we would expect come to pass. And dear friends, that's why we're given intelligence and understanding. And yes, we plan and we scheme, but our desire, or the desire of a true child of God, is the Lord will direct. He will bring to pass that which is good, that which will keep us in the way everlasting, that which will keep us looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. The narrow way that leads unto life, that's faith, isn't it, in the Christ, the Lamb. I am the way, the truth, and the life, says Jesus. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. A narrow way, faith. To walk by faith, not by sight. Oh, dear friends, how often we're prone, aren't we, to slip, to backslide. It's to be our constant prayer, isn't it? For the Lord to hold us. And as we have in our text, keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. You know, dear friends, when we look at what David says here, keep me as the apple of the eye. Now you children know your eyes are very precious, don't they? And the slightest thing which may come against our eyes, such as dust and dirt and smoke, or if there's a very, very bright light which could damage our eyes, we protect them. The Lord has given us the protection of our eyelids. We shut them quickly to preserve the light of our body, which is the eye. Oh, how we value them so much, don't we? Now the Lord loves and values his people just like that, as the apple of his eye. Well, the scripture tells us. The eye of the Lord is ever upon his people. He keeps them as the apple of his eye. That means, dear friends, he will preserve them, protect them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. What does he need to keep us from? Keep us from the powers of evil. Now, the powers of evil are very great today. Now, you young ones, as well as us older ones, how we need to be kept. How we need that prayer, hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. The younger we are in life, the longer we expect to live, don't we? And we have our plans, we have our schemes. I trust we have our prayers. There's much to draw us away from the truth concerning Jesus and the very present and being of God. We don't fight today, and we haven't done for many years in warfare, have we? Like David did, he had many, many physical battles. And many would seek to take his life. But we fight today, as Paul says, against principalities and powers. That is, the ways of evil, the influence, evil influence, that surrounds us and can affect our hearts and our minds and stir up evil from within us. And we begin to value and love the things of this world and more than we do of the truth as it is in Jesus. We're living in these days. Oh, when it says in the scriptures, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And how we, by the technologies of today and the materialism of today, oh, what an enemy it can be to draw us aside from dependence upon God. How we can be drawn into filling our hearts and minds with all the desires to be involved more and more in that what's invented and brought to pass. And how our hearts and minds and the lusts, they go out after these things for the satisfying of ourselves in our body alone. And there's no room for the truth. Oh, Satan is a mighty foe. David said, didn't he? Was it in Psalm 57? Really, about his enemy would swallow him up. Satan would swallow us up so readily, so easily today. Going about, walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And dear friends, we've got no strength against him. He knows our hearts, he's affected them since the days of Adam and Eve. Oh, as he tempted Adam and Eve to sin and disobey the word of God, he still does that work today. And we're the subjects of it. And we can be easily be beguiled. Easily beguiled. Even as Satan said to Eve, hath not God said? And then put wrong interpretation upon it. Oh, dear friends, how we need true teaching, true leading, true guiding. How we need to be kept by the Spirit of God. To be taught the truth, the right as it is in Jesus. That it is the one thing needful, as Jesus said, when poor Martha was cumbered about with much serving. One thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. What Martha was doing wasn't wrong, was it? It wasn't sinful. But Christ was there, and he was preaching. He was teaching. But she was constrained by her earthly responsibilities and set aside the things of the truth which were spoken by Jesus at that time. Oh, dear friends, and we can be tempted, can't we, to lay aside the word of God and turn to that which is perhaps pressing upon us in daily lives. How often do we read the scriptures and meditate upon them? And how often do we perhaps pick up some other publication, some other document, and some other perhaps duty we must do, and we give our time and attention to that which is earthly, and we neglect the word of God. Oh, dear friends, I'm afraid it's so often with us, isn't it? All of us, myself included. Oh, we need David's prayer here, don't we? What a pattern of prayer it is. Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips, that means deceitful lips. He's praying from the depth of his heart, that's what he has need of. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Preserve me. Oh, do not let me stray. Oh, I do not know the right way. I need guiding. I need thee to open up to me all those things that are right in thy sight for me. You know, when we come to take our decisions, and how many decisions occur to us in our daily lives at home and in business, in all the responsibilities we carry in the church, and conducting ourselves in our land, and there are many decisions we take on the daily. Perhaps we do not count how many decisions we have to take. We're making them really all the time, aren't we? Our prayerful desire, Lord, keep me as the apple of the eye. You know, the Lord Jesus knows how we need to be kept. He was tempted in all points such as we are. He without sin. But when he prayed to his Father before he suffered, his disciples were there. He was going to leave them. He was going to return to glory. He knew Satan's power that would come. Oh, he said, keep them. He prayed that the Lord, his Father, would keep them from all evil. Keep them from all evil. And how was that to be? I will pray the Father give the Holy Spirit, the Divine Comforter. He shall testify of me. He shall rule thy heart. He will keep thee knowledgeable of thy sins and of the ways of righteousness, the ways of judgment. Put within you the tender fear of God. Oh, how we need to be kept, don't we? That's the precious grace, the fear of the Lord. Our dependence upon him. That shed blood of Jesus Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. That's our only hope of eternal life, isn't it? Of course, we shall all come at the end of our days, whether they're going to be few or whether they're going to be long. Whether we should die first or Christ shall come again the second time, there will come the end. And what will it be then with us? Oh, dear friends, we need to be kept, don't we, in the fear of God. Knowing our complete dependence upon that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, whom he hath given for a sacrifice for sin. He shall save his people from their sins. Kept. Kept by the power of God. Through faith. Unto salvation. Ready to be revealed in that last day. Keep me as the apple of thine eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Hide me. What do we need to be hidden from? Certainly not from the love of God. This is the love of God. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Hide me. Oh, from the power of evil, which will tempt me to stray. Hide me from the consequence of my sins. Hide me, oh, from the wrath of God for sin, especially in the day of judgment. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Dear friends, this is the love of Christ. Did not Jesus say to Jerusalem when he wept over it, oh, how he would have gathered them together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and ye would not, ye would not. Oh, the hardness of heart by nature. Dear friends, those Pharisees, those Sanhedrin, those elders, they trusted in themselves. They trusted that they were righteous before God. Dear friends, that was outside of the shadow of the wings of the Lord, wasn't that? The shadow of the wings of the Lord are his love, his redeeming love. Why, thou, his righteousness. There's the shelter from all that can destroy our souls in hellfire. You know, when a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, what a place of refuge it is, isn't it? Any predator that may be in the area which could easily take a little chick because of its weakness and its tenderness, subject to the power of the predator. Oh, it cannot be seen. It's hidden. It's hiding its refuge under the wings of that hen. Then we think of the heat of the sun, in the, perhaps the burning heat, perhaps in some countries more than in our country. But under the shadow of those wings, oh, how they're preserved from the burning heat which could destroy them. And also if it's cold, oh, you think of the coldness a little chick perhaps cannot withstand. But under those wings, oh, they have the warmth. The warmth of the body of that hen that loves them. The hen takes all the dangers and all the circumstances that would harm those chicks. And then we think of the storms of the weather, the wind and the rain and the snow. And, dear friends, under those wings there's comfort, isn't there? It doesn't harm them at all. Oh, what a lovely picture this is of the love of Christ to sinners. Sheltering under the shadow of his wings, the wings of his love and of his grace, where he has gathered them and put within himself all their sins, all their iniquities, drawn them to himself to blot them out through his own sufferings and his own death. And that love made manifest to his people, shed abroad in their heart, loved with an everlasting love and with loving kindness, they are drawn to him. Oh, dear friends, this is the work, isn't it, of grace. What do we know of it? This drawing power, where Jesus is that one thing needful. Against the power of sin and all things that threaten us, threaten our souls, our spirit in this evil day. It's the only one where we can lay all our matters and all our cares upon, isn't it? Casting all our care upon him, for he careth for you. He careth for you. Some lovely words, I can't really go through them all in the scriptures. But I'm just quoting that word, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. There's a verse here in Psalm 36 verse 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Now that's faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in that shed blood, that sacrifice for sin. And it becomes the joy and the rejoicing of that heart. Oh, that they're one with Jesus. They're his. Why, they're born of him. They're his people. Born of the Spirit, born of God. And this psalm is another psalm of David, isn't it? They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. The truth as it is in Jesus, as it's preached and as it's read in the house of God in the times of worship. Dear friends, is that how we've come this morning? Our souls to be fed with the truth as it is in Jesus, fed with the bread of heaven. As Jesus said, I am the bread of heaven. I came to give my life a sacrifice for sin. Oh, this is my body, this is broken for you. Oh, that spiritual partaking by faith of that truth. My body, which is broken from you, it is meat indeed. And my blood, which is drink indeed. Oh, dear friends, when we testify of that love of the Lord to our soul, that loving kindness which has drawn us, it's to his honour and to his glory, isn't it? It's not to be despised. This is the way we are to seek and to walk in, to be kept in, that he may have all the praise and all the honour and the glory as we live day by day. Oh, hold up my goings in thy paths that my footsteps slip not. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. The previous verse says, show thy marvellous loving kindness. O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Trust in thee. Oh, that Psalm 57 we read there, David was in a time of great calamity. He says, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. My soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. Dear friends, have you got any calamities? Perhaps something's come upon you and oh, it's a great trial of your faith. Something's come upon you and it depresses you and casts you down. Grieves you in your heart, mind and spirit all day and all night. Well, dear friends, these are things which can easily cause us to question the goodness, the mercy and the grace of God. These, what David calls here, calamities. He was being chased by Saul, wasn't he? Saul was a mighty foe to him. Because the promise of God to David was that he would be the king of Israel. But David had to depend on God for the Lord to bring it to pass. Why, David even had the opportunity to slay Saul, didn't he? Once or twice. And those who were with him told him to do so. Oh, the Lord has delivered him into your hand. He's the Lord's anointed. He was in the days of Samuel, wasn't he? The Lord appointed Saul. It wasn't for David to take away the Lord's anointed. Oh, what grace there was given to him. What withholding of the Spirit of God from doing that evil. And he had to wait and trust in the Lord for the time to come when he would be the king of Israel. But in this meantime, he had this great enemy. Be merciful unto me, O God. Oh, David still had his sinful thoughts. He said, I shall one day perish by the hand of Saul. Oh, the trial of his faith, as the difficulty and the danger carried on. Our time's always ready, isn't it, to be delivered. And so was David's. But David's trust was in his God. There was his steadfastness. There was the surety. Dear friends, that he was of the Lord, as the Lord kept him, as the apple of his eye, oh, from going into that sinful way of destroying Saul. He had to wait, he had to watch. As he declares in this Psalms, watch unto the Lord, watch and wait, pray. Until these calamities be overpassed, until the Lord brings an end to them. Dear friends, we have that word, don't we? Coming through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. Through the fires, it's through them. You don't remain in them and destroy it. Those that trust in the Lord, oh, they have to suffer many things in the trials of their faith, but the Lord will bring them through. Dear friends, we shall have calamities all of our lives. We don't know what another day may bring forth. We're no different to unbelievers in our flesh, are we? We all have troubles and difficulties, trials, sicknesses, bereavements, and we pass through the similar circumstances, some seemingly worse than others. But oh, to have those thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give us an expected end. An expected end. Oh, let me just turn back to Psalm 17 and that point. David's end of his prayer, Psalm 17. Having said, keep me as the apple of mine eye, of the eye, hide me under the shadow of the wings, from the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. He says, how they're enclosed in their own fat, they live to themselves, and when they die, oh, they can only pass on their substance, their earthly substance, to their babes, to those who follow them and remain alive. That's all they can do. Dear friends, if that's all our substance is, what we've gained in this life, it's going to be very sad when we come to the end of our lives. Dear friends, the substance we need is this truth concerning Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners. Our pardon sealed, our peace with God, and our walk in this life accordingly, depending upon that grace, that mercy. And David said, as for me, oh, when he comes to the end, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. I will behold thy face in righteousness. Dear friends, what a covering that is. That's our hiding place, isn't it? In the day of the judgment. That righteousness of Jesus which covers us from the wrath of God on account of our sin. Those others, we read, they will call for the rocks and the hills to cover them. Physical things, as if that could hide from the wrath of God for sin. No. It's his precious righteousness which he hath wrought through Calvary's cross for his people, the blotting out of all transgressions and of all sins. What a hiding place that is. I will behold thy face in righteousness. Dear friends, one thing just comes to me now. Perhaps I should have mentioned it earlier, but it's just come to me. The shadow of his wings. You know, in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, the ark was signified the presence of God. There was the law within it which had been broken but had been restored and was in the ark, and it was covered with the mercy seat. And those cherubims with those wings, they overshadowed the mercy seat. And there God said to Moses, there will I commune with thee from above the mercy seat, under the shadow of those wings, the place of prayer. Oh, dear friends, what a hiding place that is, isn't it? The shadow of his wings. The shadow of his wings who hears and hearkens unto the prayers of his people. As we commit all our way unto him and trust also in him. Dear friends, it'll be the prayer to our dying day. Like in Psalm 107. Those that do business in deep waters. The storms of this life. Oh, overpowering as it were them. They came to their wits' end. Did not know what to do, except they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and the Lord heard them, delivered them out of their distresses, and brought them to their desired haven. Oh, that's the haven here which David desired. As for me, I will behold thy face, see Christ without a cloud between, in that heavenly kingdom. In his righteousness, then I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy light. And dear friends, may this be our constant prayer, praying it without ceasing. Keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings, hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. The Lord hear and answer and keep us close to himself. Amen.